to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Last week we talked about our gift, right? That God's gifted all of us. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, right? But your gift needs to be exercised, and it needs to develop. It needs to grow, right? So today we're going to kind of carry that on a little bit, but in a little bit different light, in a little bit different way. How many love the Word of God? I said, how many love the Word of God? Hallelujah. There's so much to be said about the Word of God. It's the life-giving, come on, the blood-bringing. Redemption is through the Word of God. Jesus is the Word, right? He's in the beginning, He's at the end, He's going to be all through it. He's in it, glory to God. But what our objective is to stay true to the Word of God. Right? There's a lot of opinions, right? We've got to come back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Right? I want to talk to you about being diligent to reign. Our diligence in reigning. Diligent means you have to stay with it even when you don't feel like it. Diligent means that even when I'm tired, I got to get up anyway. Diligent means when I don't like the person that God's sending me to, I need to do it anyway. Diligent says I'm going to love whether I feel like loving or not. Diligent says, based on your word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net. Right? Jesus doesn't make any sense to me. I fished all night. I haven't caught anything. I put the nets up, but at your word, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Right? But we have to come to the place where we understand that His word is not optional. Let me say that one more time. His word is not optional. I can't get up tomorrow and say, well, Lord, you know. I heard this story. It made me actually sick to my stomach. Major denominational conference. People who declared that they love Jesus, declare that they're Christians. And one of the main speakers got up and he said, I can no longer base my life on the confines of this book. Because outside of this book, we have to be more loving. We have to be more. And the sad part is that there was a thunderous applause with a group of ministers. And that's the reality of where we face today, right? But we have to be diligent to be in the Word of God and staying true to the Word of God. If you'll go with me to the 140th Psalm, Psalm 140. Again, we love the Word, Lord. We thank you for speaking us out of your Word, Lord. And I thank you that your Word can go to every heart in here in a different way and get exactly the work done that you want done in Jesus' name. You're for our good, Lord. You're for our good. Hallelujah. Verse 1 says, it says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts and continually gather together for war. If you don't know it, we're in the midst of a war. Yes. Come on, let me say that again. You're in the midst of a war. You're in the midst of a war for your heart and for your soul. We're going to get to it, but did you know that in the last days, there are many that are going to fall away? We're seeing it. For a minister to get up and say, well, you know, the Word of God is okay, but I need to go outside of that to be more inclusive into what I think is right, is we're living in the last days. But you and I have to make a determination that I'm either going to live for Jesus or I'm not. You remember what Jesus said in the book of Revelation? He said this. He said, listen, you're neither hot nor cold. Then I love this part. Well, actually, I don't. But he says, you know, if you don't get hot again, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Another verse that says, listen, it says, in that day, you'll come and say, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Man, Lord, I was an evangelist, man. I had hundreds of thousands saved in all different parts of the world in your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. We're going to start a series in I think, January 1st, but the first Sunday of January, on worship, but it's like nothing you've ever heard before. Because worship is so powerful, but it's so complete and it's so necessary for all of us to be worshiping 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a worship decision. And we'll talk more about that. But my point is that we have to be all in, or we'll be easily deceived to get all out. Right? And look at these verses again. Look at one. Verse 1, and make that the cry of your heart. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil men, and preserve me from violent men. You know, deception sounds good. Deception sounds right. But that's where we have to come back to the Word of God and say, no, I'm sorry, but that doesn't fit with my heart. Did you know the number one way that God leads you is through the inner witness? What is that? I mean, this is kind of crude, but it's a gut check, right? And your gut, man, that just doesn't seem right. If you ever get that, you need to step back and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Right? What are you saying to me? How does this apply to me? And especially if you're, well, I'll just give you an example. I won't name the names, but a friend of mine who, dear younger lady, and she's in a different state, and but she considers me her spiritual father, and she sent me this message that the preacher was preaching. They were going through a Bible study, a video series, and sent it to me. And as soon as he started speaking, inside I was going, something's not right. Something is not right. And then the more I listened to the message, some of it was good, but there was some of it that wasn't right. And so I'm not judging the person, but I've got to go with that witness on the inside and not just slough it off, right? So when we're talking about being diligent to reign, we have to be careful to guard what God's put in our heart and what God wants to lead us out of our heart. How many in here are saved? Right? You've given Jesus the Lord as the Lord of your life. You've given Him your life. You've laid your down. You're like, right? You've done all that. Well, if that's true, then you can no longer live for you. You have to live for Him. Let me say that again. Oh, I thought this was a fuzzy place. You know, we just come in, Jesus loves you, this I know. You know, and that's true. But the reality is when you called Him Lord, that means that you're not.
Right. Yeah.
I'll say that over here maybe. When you called Him Lord, that means that you're not. So it's like, Lord, I need to hear from You on a consistent basis, because there's a lot of traffic out there and noise out there that's not from You. But I want to be true to You. And in order to do that, you have to be diligent and on guard. Right? I don't think you have to be afraid, or because He's able to keep those that He saved. I'm not telling you to be afraid, but what I'm telling you is to, as the Bible says, to guard your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, guard your heart, because it's the place where all life springs from.
That's right.
Come on, your heart. Go to Psalm 141 and listen to this. Lord, I cry out to You. I make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to You. Let my prayer be set before You as incense, lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to an evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. And do not let me eat their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be kindness. Let them rebuke me, it shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff. And they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when the plow and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. That's a powerful, powerful word. Come on. I say, Lord, I need your help because there's lots of them out there that are trying to ensnare me and take me to the place where I need not go. Right? And I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what you're thinking. That's dangerous in the sense, and I like what he says here, and we might not like this particular part of it, but he said in verse 5, let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. When's the last time you had a good rebuke? Other than your spouse. Right. When's the last time? I mean, somebody came up to you and said, hey, brother, listen, what you're saying and what you're doing is just not right. It's not in line with the Word of God. And if our hearts are like, oh, who are you to tell me? Bless God. I hear from God. No, listen, this is what the Word says. We have to be soft and pliable enough and say, thank you, man. I was getting off and I was listening to the wrong voice, but you're bringing me back to the right place. And I want to thank you for that. You saved my life. Right? Listen, a word of rebuke is better than a pat on the back with somebody who's not allowing you to see or to hear what God is saying. I love it because if you're reading the Word of God and you're reading it correctly, He'll be slapping you upside the head all the time. And not because He hates you, but because He wants to get your attention. Because the way you're walking is not the correct way. Right? But it all comes back to, is He Lord of my life? If He's Lord of my life, then I'll walk with Him. Right? I'll talk with Him. I love this. I love this, the whole point of it. Verse 8 says, but my eyes are upon you, O God the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. How much time do we give God? Well, not enough. And I'm not saying that you have to be in your Bible and praying 24/7, but you should be at least looking at it. You should be at least talking about it. You know, the Bible says, how many would rather be successful than a failure? Right? But he says, if you want to be successful, you got to meditate on my word day and night, right? Day and night, night and day. What does that mean? All the time, right? All the time. How do you do that? This is the way I do it. I say, Holy Spirit, give me a verse. And I want to just keep that before me. And so when my thoughts get out there or start to get stressed out, I get anchored back to that verse. And I just let it roll over me and roll over me. And roll over me and roll over me. Meditation. Hallelujah. It is meditation. It's muttering. You know, the word meditation in the Old Testament, like Zach was referring to, is not, let me see that candle again. It's muttering. It means to talk to yourself with the Word of God. Right? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Go to 2 Timothy. We're going to spend some time in 2 Timothy. Timothy was Paul's disciple, and he was actually a minister also, so he was kind of like Paul's right-hand person and his mentor, and he spoke from that vein into his life. In other words, listen, I brought you up in the ministry and I've set you over churches and I did all of that, but I want to make sure that you keep on track. I want to make sure that you stay diligent and you finish your race well. I want to make sure that you're there. And as a pastor, it's my objective to keep you pointed toward the Word of God so that you can continue to receive the blessings that come from obedience to the Word of God. How many have ever been around the mountain more than one time? Right? More than one time. It's like, Lord, here I am again. How did I get here? How come always bad things happen to me? It may not be, but it could just be that you're not listening to what God is saying. Right? It could be that you're maybe doing some things and you're reaping the fruit of what you've been doing. Right? And in order to get a different result, you got to quit doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. That means do it on purpose. Do it all the time. Do it over and over and over and over again. You know, the idea would be in everything we're giving thanks because God is with us. So in the midst of my storm, in the midst of a place I don't want to be, in the midst of even a situation that isn't fair, that's not right, and everything is, Lord, I just have to begin to thank you that you're with me because I'm going to be diligent in putting you first. Be diligent to present yourself. That's interesting. I can't present you to God from this perspective. You have to present yourself before God. Right? I'm responsible for me. And as a pastor, I'm responsible for leading you in the correct direction. But, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him... Right? You can't make them drink. But God wants your best. He wants the best for you. He wants your life to be blessed so that you can point out how good God is and how much He's blessed you and give Him a testimony of goodness. But we must be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. I was never in the military, so, you know, I'm really not even qualified to say this, but the picture comes to me of when muster is ready, right? We're going to muster at 0600. All right, at 0600, you better be there. And when who's ever in charge of you stands up, you better be reporting for duty, sir. Right? Right? Reporting for duty. And that's the way we ought to wake up in the morning. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready for duty. What's my assignment today? Well, your assignment today is to go pick up cigarette butts outside of the mess hall. Right? Right? Lord, that's not the duty I wanted. It's tough. Right? What am I saying? I'm saying this, Lord, I'm presenting myself before you right now, right here, right this second. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? I remember the day when I was going to get up and preach a message against something somebody was saying. And boy, I had the scriptures all lined out and I was going to set the record straight. Right? Because I'm the pastor after all and I needed to show everybody that I was right. Right? And I'm praying over this message, spent a lot of time on it. And God said, don't do it. I said, well, no. but I want to do it. Don't do it. Lord, you know what they're doing is wrong. You know what they're saying is wrong. You know, and I need to set that straight. He said, don't do it. as a whole big picture, but he showed me, he said, look, if you go out trying to stamp out all the fires that are outside of the center circle, then you'll not be concentrated on the fire that's in the center. And if you'll just focus on me, right, all those other fires will die out. But the earth and the grass is dry on the outer circle. And if you go to try to stamp that out, you know what it's going to do? It's going to spread. So you take care of the inner circle. That's my relationship with you. I'll take care of that. And then he said to me this. He said, if you're going to try to justify yourself, then I can't be your justifier. Woo! I mean, that's motivation right there. Right? It's like, ooh, glory to God. Lord, I'm going to leave that in your hands. I'm going to leave that in your hands. See, I have to be presenting myself to God to do things the way He wants me to do them, not the way that I want to do them. Mary was on Wednesday. I'm just going to use this. She was explaining some challenges that she was going through. A course in my wit and my humor and everything. I said, "Well, you know, it wasn't as bad as this, right? It's not as bad as this." So sometimes that's the way we have to be. What am I going through? It's not as bad as this, right? Not as bad as this, Lord. Now look at again, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. That's powerful. Yeah, but I heard this person say, and I heard that person say, and in your gut you're going, but there's something not right about it. But I want to continue to listen to that because it sounds good, it feels good. In fact, they have apostle this and bishop that and prophetess this after their name, so they must know what they're talking about. But inside of you is going, no, and God is saying, quit listening to them blabber. And get back to listen to me speak. Are you with me? But you're not going to be able to hear what he's saying if you're not looking at what he said. Let me say that again. You're not going to hear what he's saying if you're not looking at what he said. Because he'll always take you back to a verse and go, well, you know, that's not quite right. That's not quite right. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. See, it says shun those things. But if you go back to the other verse, it talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. Glory to God. If Jesus is Lord of your life, He said that He gave you the Holy Spirit to reveal all truth to you, and He'll reveal His word to you. But we have to be diligent to reign. If we want to reign in life as Christ Jesus, if we want to live our lives as successful Christians who are going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," we must be diligent to do it. 24/7, absolutely. And 24/7 saying, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life." And even when I can't figure it out, even when my faith seems to be so weak and God, it just doesn't make any sense to me, at the end of the day, I'm just going to trust you, period. Right? Because if I do everything the way you want me to do it, and they come and arrest me, I have to trust you. Right? I mean, we're getting to the place in our country where if you proclaim the gospel and you read the word of God verbatim, there's times where it will get to the place where they may come and arrest you and accuse you of hate. There are many out there that are saying today, you don't have to go very far, many are saying that this is a hate book. This is filled with hate. That's why that pastor said that I'm going to need to, you know, go outside of this book. But God is love. Yes. God is love. It's not that He tries to love, that He might love. He is love. But love isn't always mamby-pamby, you know, make you feel good, bless God. And I don't want to get off on it, but sometimes that's the problem with parenting today. We want the children to feel good about themselves rather than be disciplined. And God wants us to feel good about ourselves, but not without discipline. Because in discipline, there's safety. In discipline, there's boundaries. And His love wants to be there. Now watch this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 1. I didn't have that in the notes, but let's look at verse 1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Anybody believe that we're in the last days? I'm not young anymore, but I'm younger than what you think. Anyway, but watch this. I'm not young anymore, but what we're living in today versus when I grew up in the 50s, right? Completely different. Completely different. And what was wrong is now right, and what was right is now wrong. It's just a sign of the time. Don't get freaked out about it. It's just God's with me in the middle of it, and He'll be with me if they come and say, "I can't buy food because I don't have the right thing," or "I can't do this because I don't have the right thing." He'll send manna and ravens, and He'll do whatever He needs to do. And bottom line is, if I starve to death because I'm not obedient to them, but I'm obedient with Him, I'm going to be counted as a martyr and get a special crown when I get. But I'm not. I have to make up my mind that I'm going to be diligent to His Word, and on His Word I'm going to stand, period, 100%. But we're living in that day. We're living in that day, and we could go on with that, but go down to verse 13. "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Glory to God. There's so much to be said. So much to be said. It's the Scripture. He didn't say, "Everything that I taught you," which He could have because He was teaching in line with the Word of God. But He said, no, it's back to the Scripture. If you're not reading the Bible for yourself, first of all, you're not being fed spiritually, and that's not good because you'll be weak. But also, you're ripe for the pickings for somebody to deceive you. And I'm talking about the core things. You know, Jesus said this. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by me." That's what He said, but there are many, 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 many voices out there saying, "Well, yeah, but you know, everybody comes to God in their own way, and you know, this one, nope, that's not what the Bible says. You're kind of narrow-minded with the Bible." And it's like one old boy says, "Well, you can afford to be narrow-minded if you're right." Hello? But if we're willing to go there and we're going to say, "Well, yeah, you know, God's understanding, and, you know, if you're a Buddhist and you know, and if you're this or if you're that," we have to come back to the Word of God. What did He say? That's what He said. That's what I believe. Come on. Now, there are some doctrinal things that, you know, when's the rapture going to happen and are we going through the tribulation? Some of those things don't mean a hill of beans difference because they're obviously not perfectly rendered in the Word of God because we're all confused about it. But here's what is not confused, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we're all in need of a Savior. And the Savior came, His name was Jesus, and He gave the way into eternal life, but you have to come through Him, and it's the same. You know, and if you believe in the virgin birth, if you believe that Jesus died for your sin, if you believe that you're going to heaven only because of His sacrifice and that you have been made righteous because of Him, then we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the other stuff doesn't matter. You want to worship on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I don't care as much about that. But the reality is that all of us need to come back and read this for ourselves and say, Lord, I am laying my life down for You and I'm laying my life into this. A little public confession time. On my phone, I've got this comes up every once in a while, and it says how much time you've spent on each thing over the week. I looked at that the other day and went, oh my Lord. How many hours was I on Facebook? How many hours was I on playing this game? How many hours was I... And I'm not saying you have to be in the Bible all of that time, but I'm saying, what are you feeding your mind with? I don't sleep too good. Well, if you're watching the... Anyway, I won't go down there. But we have to come back to the place where it's the Word of God that gives us life. It's the Word of God that reproves us. It's the Word of God that gives us direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All Scripture. Everybody say all Scripture. That means Genesis to Revelation is given to us by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Everybody say profitable. If we're going to be diligent in seeking God, it's not going to come from any other thing than being in His presence. In His presence. Now, His presence can come and worship, and I love it when it does. His presence is here this morning. I love that. But did you know that every time you open this and you begin reading, you're in His presence? It said the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is God. So when I read in the Scripture, well, listen, God's talking. And whether I feel it or not, I'm in Your presence, God. And if I walk away from my daily Bible reading and I feel like, man, I didn't get much out of that. I got a lot out of that. You just don't see it. Now, every time you eat spinach, it doesn't mean your muscles go doing. Right? I mean, you know, but if you keep on a consistent basis of eating the right things, then you'll grow stronger on the inside. The same thing is true. Hallelujah. I need vitamin B. I need the Word of God. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, and it's just a continuation. You know that the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. This was a letter that was written from Paul to his son in the faith, so he didn't stop. Now, chapter 4, I'm going to start a new thought. It's a continuation of all Scripture is given, right, and it's profitable. He said, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearance in His kingdom, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Now here was a man who was embedded into enemy territory. He was in a Gentile city that was full of people that were against the Word of God. But he said, listen, don't give up on the Word of God. Don't start bringing in some of the customs that are in the area. Preach the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Continue in the Word of God. If we're going to reign in this life, We have to be diligently seeking the Word of God. I don't feel God. But when's the last time you spent any disciplined time in the Word of God? Are you listening to me? I love this. You know, when we went to Bible school, and the person that gave the speech at the graduation ceremony, he spoke on this word, preach the word. And we were all going out to start ministries and do things for God. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. He was saying, listen, programs are fine, all that's fine, but preach the word. It's the word of God that has the power of God for salvation. It's the word of God. If we want to be diligent, we've got to be in the word of God. And the second thing is, when we're in the word of God, we have to be obedient to the word of God. We must give the Word of God final authority in our life. If Jesus said it, I'm doing it. If He said it, I'm doing it. If He said to love my enemies, I'm loving my enemies. Right? If he said be nice to those who are treating you like dirt, well, that's what I'm going to do. Glory to God. Because my reaction to you is not on you, it's on me. I'm not in control of how you treat me, but I'm definitely in control of how I treat you. And I'm going to treat you according to the Word of God. Doesn't mean I'm going to let you run over me. Doesn't mean that I'm going to let you, you know, abuse me. It doesn't mean any all of that, but my heart is going to be right with God in how I deal with you. I'd rather let you win and me be right with God than me win and have Him upset with me, or I have to eat the fruit of the decision that I made. Right? Glory to God. So what am I saying? I said we got to get back to the Word of God. We got to be present in the Word of God. It says, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Right, come on, this isn't popular. Let's go to a church that just tells us we're blessed all the time and tells us, listen, you don't have any trouble. Just do whatever you want. God's happy with you. God's grace is over you. After all, grace, 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 grace. You can do whatever you want because Jesus died for your sins, so you might as well sin anyway. That's being preached today. And not exactly like that. It's wrapped up a little bit better than that. But the reality is if we want to preach the Word, all of these things are going to be part of it. Convince. In other words, have a argument, a compelling argument based on the Word of God. Do your research and dig deeper as to why. Lord, why is this? Or how does this work? So that when you're talking to somebody, you can talk to them out of experience instead of somebody else's pamphlet. And you can, well, this is why I believe what I believe. Right? So you can convince them of that, or at least give a convincing argument, and then rebuke means to say, man, you're wrong. That's fun. Because people, when you tell them they're wrong, they're just happy about it most of the time, right? They just, oh, thank you for that. No, they get defensive, they get ugly. People can be ugly. Did you know that? I mean, not you, because you're here on Sunday. But they can be ugly, right? But no. This is what we must do. And I love this. And exhort with all long suffering and teaching. I've been at this a while, right? And sometimes I didn't want to be. Sometimes I wanted to run. Sometimes I thought, well, Lord, I could just go back and do this and do that and, you know, flush. I mean, Lord. But here's the reality is that He called me to do this. And so even when I don't want to do it, diligence says you're going to do it anyway. Right? Husbands, love your wives. I don't want to. Have you met her, God? Hello? She's not in here. So, wives, be subject to your own... Lord, have you met Him? He's an idiot. Right? He doesn't do anything right. Right? Listen. My loving my wife is not based on her actions. It's based on His command. Right? And the other is true. Right? Come on. Being submissive to one another. I don't want to submit to you. Who are you to come up and tell me anything? After all, I've been in the ministry, you know, for over 35. Who are you to come up to me? Well, listen, I'm a fool if I don't submit to the word that God is using, even if you've only been saved a little while. I can prove that to you if you've had small children. You're the parent, bless God. They're going to obey you, but they'll come up, but mommy or but daddy, you said this, and in church, pastor said, shut up, right? Shut up. I'm the dad, I'm the mom, I'm the... No, 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 no. If it's based on truth, then I will submit to it, whether a 3-year-old tells me or a 73-year-old tells me, because the truth is what sets us free. Come on, are you with me? Are you with me? But we have to be preaching the word. It has to be in line with the word of God. Next verse, verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. My objective for today is for us to be aware, be on alert, and to begin to understand that I need to be diligent in my reigning in this life. I need to be diligent looking at the Word of God. I need to be diligent and letting the Lord examine my heart, right? I need to be diligent in those things. Why? Because I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Jesus came that I might have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Jesus, the thief comes not for to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So if you're not in the midst of abundant life, there's two things that are involved there. The enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But it could be that you've given him access to that by not diligently doing what Jesus has said. Right? So I'm going to get back into, I want the life that's full of abundance. But I can't have it without connection to being diligent, to be in His Word and obeying His Word. Amen? Y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. Did you get something? I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, right? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all of those that are watching online and those who are here in the room, Lord. I just thank you that, and me first, Lord, I'm yielding myself to you. And even as you've been speaking to me the last couple of days about certain issues, Lord, I need your help and even do these because my flesh just wants to go back to the way things are. And Lord, I need your help to overcome even my flesh. But I'm choosing this morning, Lord, to listen to your voice and become obedient to it. So, Lord, we yield our hearts to you right now. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it'd be a good time to do that right now. His Spirit is inside of you, speaking to you, even as we're talking. And maybe you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you've walked away from that and your life is not where you know it needs to be. And you need to come back to the Lord and submit yourself 100% to Him. If either of those are you, I want you just to get right with God right now. Right now, in your heart, right now. So we're going to pray a prayer and you just repeat the words after me. But if you don't mean it in your heart, it will do no good for you. But if you mean it in your heart, God will change your circumstances. He'll change your outlook. He'll change you forever. So this is for non-Christians and Christians to pray. Let's pray this together. Father, in Jesus' name, here's my heart. I ask you to examine it. And I give you permission to point out to me areas that you want changed. I submit those areas to you. I ask you, Lord, to reign in my life. Jesus is Lord. And I receive your guidance in Jesus' name. Lord, I submit myself to you. And I ask you, Lord, to speak to me on the first step. And I'll take it. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for speaking to me. Now, if you're listening, and if you'll listen for the rest of the day, and you'll listen to your heart, God will minister to you something that He wants you to either change, adjust, be diligent to begin to do that. Amen? Amen. All of us who join us online, thank you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. If you're here, we're going to have the worship team come up. And as our custom is, we're going to go out with a worship song. If you need prayer for anything, if you just gave your heart to the Lord, or if you gave coming back to the Lord, come on up. Let us pray for you. Let us put and lay hands on you. If you need prayer for healing, you need needs met, whatever, the Spirit of God is here to touch you. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you have something?